Please turn in your Bibles, if you have a Bible with you or on your device, once again to the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. Our subject today, our title, Gentiles at the Table of the Lord. So Jean has read to us the first chapter of Ephesians, and we continue as I just want to highlight the message of the Apostle that continues in chapters 2 and 3. There's nothing like the Word of God, amen. The Stormers were playing so badly last night that I packed it in, had a shower, got into bed, and read through Ephesians and Philippians and half of Colossians to Elaine. And I felt a whole lot better after that. So in Ephesians and chapter 2, we'll just go down to the verse that you know so well, which tells us that in verse 6, God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, and have you noticed before how the Lord is speaking very directly to non-Jews, to Gentiles? In fact, he mentions that word four times in the verses that follow. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel. You were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You were without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, that is, Jews and Gentiles, believing in the Messiah, Yeshua, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And so he goes on and says in verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all of God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us as we consider this truth, this amazing reality. Gentiles at the table of the Lord. Some years ago, two graduate students did a study of behavior in a typical orchestra. The research involved interviews with 11 musicians, in 11 major symphony orchestras. They focused particularly on how different sections of each orchestra perceived each other. And their report unearthed consistent and deeply felt differences. And the question arises, how can an orchestra with such different personalities and potentially divisive perceptions of each other even come together to play such beautiful music? And of course, the answer is very simple. Regardless of how musicians in an orchestra feel about each other, when it comes to performing, they subordinate their feelings and prejudices to the leadership of the conductor. And as they each play their part, all differences and prejudices are forgotten. In the first half of chapter 2 of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul has unfolded the good news about Jesus, the truth about our salvation by grace alone, through Christ alone, through faith alone. And the result is a glorious symphony. The result is God's workmanship. The word that the apostle uses in chapter 2:10 is the word from which we get our English word poem. We are God's poem. We are God's masterpiece. We are God's symphony. It is a miracle wrought by God. What is the miracle? What is the mystery of the gospel hidden for ages? It is that the church, consisting of believers who are both Jewish and Gentile, have been formed into one new humanity, a tertium genus, a third race, the community of the redeemed. The most remarkable thing about it is that non-Jews, Gentiles, people from every nation under heaven can be part of this miracle of God's grace, this communion of the saints. God has called into this assembly of his people, people from widely different cultural, economic backgrounds, and he's made them into one attractive, countercultural family of people who love one another and submit to Christ, their conductor. It is by far the most remarkable phenomenon in the world. It's a story of amazing grace. It's beyond amazing. The Gentiles this morning can be found at the table of the Lord. So the apostle has a special word this morning in the second half of chapter 2 of Ephesians just for us who are non-Jews. There's something about Gentiles, Paul is saying, that you need to remember. There's something that you Gentiles need to rejoice over, and there's something that you Gentiles need to respond to. You need to consistently recall what you once were. And you need to constantly celebrate what you are now. And you need to constantly respond to the goal that is before you. You need to remember what you were. You need to celebrate what Christ has done. And you need to embrace your new status with all your heart. The Bible is often calling upon us to remember, isn't it? We are to remember the wonders that God has done, 1 Chronicles 16:13. We are to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, Ecclesiastes 12:1. We are to remember the poor, Galatians 2:10, and so we could go on. After all, God is a God who remembers. He remembers that we are dust, Psalm 103, verse 18. He remembers his covenant forever, Psalm 111, verse 5. He remembers our sins no more, Isaiah 43:25. And he invites us Gentiles to his table so that we will remember. Remember the culmination and fulfillment of all the feasts and the fasts and the festivals that God gave to his people Israel. To remember Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits and the Feast of Weeks. To remember Pentecost and to remember the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. We are to remember how God gave these fasts and feasts and festivals to his people so that they would be assured that one day they would all be perfectly fulfilled in their Messiah. And as Gentiles, we are now called to remember. For 2 years, Paul had explained to these Gentiles in Ephesus the gospel of Jesus. And he is saying, now that you know it, remember what your life was like without it. And in chapter 2 and verse 12, we saw he lists five crushing disabilities of their former state. Number one, as Gentiles, they were separated from Christ. They were in a place where no religion, no works, no sacrifices, no rituals, no anything could ever bridge the chasm that existed between them and God. They were separated from Christ. Number two, they were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. The descendants of Jacob were the only people God had betrothed to himself. The Gentiles were aliens. The Jews were the only people who had God's peculiar favor resting upon them. Number three, the Gentiles were strangers to the covenants of promise which God made to Abraham and reiterated throughout the Old Testament. Number four, their case was hopeless, says the apostle. They were without hope. And number five, they were godless, without God in the world. That's what Gentiles need to remember when they come to the table of the Lord. As John Stott put it, Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, godless. Remember what you were once, you Gentiles, when you come to the table of the Lord. We were as lost could be. We had no hope of ever being reconciled to God. It's beyond terrible to be without hope and without God. There was a very poignant moment at President Brezhnev's funeral. During the Cold War in Russia, as you know, Christianity was outlawed. And now the man who had ruled over it all, this atheistic communist regime, now this man, President Brezhnev, was a corpse in the coffin. For some time, Mrs. Brezhnev stood motionless by her husband's coffin. And then just a few seconds before the lid was closed, she reached down and made the sign of the cross on his chest. Think about that. There in Moscow, at the center of anti-God, atheistic power, the wife of the man who'd run it all hoped that her husband was wrong. She hoped there was another life. She hoped that the Christian message was true and that perhaps even now Jesus, the Jesus of the cross, might have mercy on her husband. Remember, says Paul to the Gentile believers, your case was once totally godless and hopeless. Remember this when you come to the table of the Lord. And then secondly, he is saying, celebrate what you have now. Don't only remember what you once were, but celebrate what you are now. Chapter 2, verse 13, you who once were so far from God have been brought near. Verses 14 and 15, you who were estranged have been brought together. Verse 16, You who were at enmity with God have now been reconciled. The broken relationship has now been restored. Verse 17, you who had no peace have now been given peace. Christ on the cross has become your peace. You now have peace with God through the precious blood shed on Calvary's cross. Celebrate that. Verse 18, you were consigned to the court of the Gentiles and barred from entry by a 5-foot-high wall around the temple in Jerusalem. You were barricaded from the sanctuary of God's presence by a visible symbol and signs of hostility written on the wall. You Gentiles dare cross over at the price of your life. And you have been given access into God's presence with the Holy Spirit's help. Verse 18, Jesus has broken down the wall of hostility. Not only that, the curtain in the temple dividing the holy place from the most holy place has been torn apart through the death of Christ on the cross. The way is open for you all to come to the table of the Lord, to experience the bread of his presence, and to feed upon Christ by faith in your hearts, this one who is the bread of life. Verse 19, you were aliens and foreigners, and now you've been made fellow citizens with all the saints of God, members of God's household. You are family now, you Gentiles. Celebrate that when you come to the table of the Lord. Verses 19 to 21, you all together, Jews and Gentiles, redeemed through the precious blood of Yeshua, you have become now one new humanity. And you've become the very dwelling place of God, the temple in which he dwells by his Holy Spirit. Celebrate that, you Gentiles, when you come to the table of the Lord. You have been rescued from doubt, from speculation, and from vain imagination. Remember the Beatles, John Lennon's song, Imagine? Oh, yes, I see you nodding there. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Lenin's message was, if we get rid of all governments and all religion, man has the power within himself to create a peaceful society. It's a memorable song. It caught the world's imagination at the time. It's a great humanitarian dream. Sadly, it doesn't work. It's not the reality. The reality is man is fallen. His nature is depraved. There is more war today than there's ever been in the history of mankind. There are at least 150 civil wars raging at the moment around this globe. Aside from Ukraine, Russia, the Middle Eastern mess, and you can name them all. Paul uses the word peace 4 times. Peace is found in Christ alone. Remember that, you Gentiles, at the table of the Lord, and celebrate, rejoice. And then thirdly and finally respond. Paul is saying to these Gentile Ephesians, don't just embrace your new status as people in Christ, as part of God's new humanity in Christ. Don't just embrace your new identity and your new destiny. Allow it to sink in. Verse 19, there are consequences to being saved into the family of God. You Gentiles, chapter 3. You Gentiles, you Gentiles, you Gentiles. Remember. And the rest of the letter shows how we as Gentile believers along with our Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ, are to behave as God's new humanity, as this new race of redeemed people through the precious blood of Jesus. Remember our opening illustration about the orchestra? All very different people with different perspectives playing beautiful music. We said two things must happen. First, when they assemble to perform, the musicians subordinate their differences and prejudices to the leadership of the conductor. They acknowledge an authority that overrides all personal agendas and differences. It's in the terms and conditions of every musician's contract. Yes, T's and C's apply. Second, when the curtain goes up, the performance begins. The beauty of the music is all that there is. For the duration of the performance, their differences are forgotten. In a sense, they cease to exist. My brothers and sisters in Christ, coming under the authority of Jesus Christ, our conductor, we must leave behind anything that may cause a break of the peace. We must leave behind anything that would cause a break in the peace. Now we are to treat one another as members of the same family, because that's what we are now. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. The fundamental, the sacramental, and the sentimental. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are family. And it's taken the sacrifice and the miracle of God's grace to bring us into this new community. One building, one kingdom, one orchestra, God's masterpiece, God's poem, God's symphony. That's what we are when we come to the table of the Lord. Amazing grace. Gentiles at the table of the Lord, don't spoil God's poem. Don't spoil God's symphony. Don't bring to this table anything that would spoil the peace. Remember what you once were, celebrate what you are now, and respond to the goal that is ahead of you. Live as children of light. Be filled and controlled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Put on the full armor of God. You are now ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the message of Ephesians. Lord, make me an instrument of worship. Lord, tune me your instrument of worship. Lord, play now your symphony of worship. Lord, make us a love song for your glory as we lift up our hands in your name. It's a costly business being part of God's poem, God's symphony, the redeemed humanity in Christ. It means laying aside that which is offensive to God, confessing our sins, finding forgiveness and cleansing, and then taking up our cross and following him. We've been reminded already this morning that every day there are those who are being martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. But you see, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, shall have my life, my soul, my all. Gentiles at the table of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Maybe you'd like a moment just to say your own prayer as we prepare our hearts for communion. Father, we thank you for your table. Thank you that the dividing wall of hostility has been broken down. Thank you that the veil in the temple has been torn apart through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you so loved the world, all the nations of the world, all the people of the world, that you gave your one and only Son, so that believing on him we might not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, that we, who once were stateless, friendless, hopeless, godless, have been brought near through the blood of Christ, that we become your dwelling place through the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so we come to remember, we come to rejoice, and we come to embrace all that Christ is, has done, and will continue to do as we take the bread and drink from the cup. Be glorified, we pray. Amen.